Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So in the middle of a presentation, we rudely interrupted Charles Lear. He will forgive us for it because he may now continue.
Thank you, sir. So he ended up living alone, and Alan Stiefelman started investigating UFOs, and he got wind of Juan, went to visit Juan to talk to him with no intention of making a movie about him, and ended up making a documentary about this guy and his experience. He found out that Juan had a connection through his grandfather to some indigenous peoples, a tribe. I think the tribe was in Peru. He made arrangements for Juan to visit with them and talk to him about his experience in terms of their spiritual worldview. And they put it into context of that, and it all made sense to Juan. You know, tears came to his eyes, but you can see Juan turn from a stifled 12-year-old boy who was never able to grow up past his experience into becoming, feeling like, you know, an adult, finally, a man. And it's a very, very moving film. And it's yet another example of tying this phenomena into the spiritual. You know, one of my speculations and thoughts is that, you know, these are the gods telling our technological society, you know, you haven't killed us, we're still here, knock, knock. So that's one way of looking at it.
The other, Ray Palmer, said, "Flying saucers are here to make us think."
Yeah, that's a very good quote. I think flying saucers are a great gateway to science in general. In order to deal with them, you know, to look at them, look at the whole phenomena critically, you need to know science, or it helps to know science in any case.
It's definitely inspired a lot of people. I mean, I think most people would immediately go to science fiction as what's been inspired. But, you know, people have pursued scientific careers to further their interest in UFOs. So, you know, that's one benefit, one real world benefit.
Yeah, I've heard investigators say, you know, I went to become an astronomer so I could investigate UFOs, and heard that's not a thing.
So earlier, you were talking about the work of NICAP and how that they were lobbyists, basically. So that kind of took hold in the mid-60s or so, and there was, ufologists were optimistic about things because there was a congressional hearing and there was a scientific study, but all that crashed and burned. Now, how did it all go wrong?
It's been speculated, never conclusively proven, that the whole scientific study was a setup. What happened is there were all these sightings in Dexter, Michigan. Hynek went down to Dexter, Michigan to sort things out and, you know, see what was up. And he had a hell of a time. He couldn't get past the reporters to talk to witnesses. His jaw was broken and wired shut for a period. And, you know, he was in distress. Well, he came up with an idea that one possible explanation was marsh gas igniting and going out, and then another pocket of marsh gas lighting and going out, and this causing movement. Hector Quintanilla wrote I forget what the title of it was, but he wrote about this in an unpublished work. And he said that Hynek called him and told him he consulted with his peers and that he thought marsh gas was the answer, and he wanted to hold a press conference, which the Air Force hadn't done before this. So they hold a press conference. Hynek brings out various explanations, you know, the Venus and being mistaken, and brings up the marsh gas. The press ran with marsh gas, but they called it swamp gas. And I thought, actually, in the video, there's video of the press conference, and I looked at it carefully. I never heard him. He says marsh gas. He never says swamp gas. He might have said it outside of the what's on video. But in any case, the press ran with swamp gas. Gerald R. Ford was minority, a Michigan boy. I think he was... yeah, he was a representative of Michigan in Congress. He was also a House Minority Leader. So he had some clout, and he got a congressional hearing in going in Congress, and they hauled the Air Force in to explain themselves. The Air Force, they said that there had been a group of scientific consultants and recommended them get an outside contractor to do a scientific study. This was, I think, around 1964. It's now 1966. So this is now on the public record, and Congress is under pressure to, I mean, the Air Force is under pressure to actually get this going. So they look around, and they finally got together with the University of Colorado, and a committee was formed headed by Dr. Edward U. Condon, who was a very renowned physicist, and they began an investigation. Well, the scuttlebutt is that the fix was in, that they were confident that Condon would come in with a negative report and recommend the Air Force get out of the UFO business, which is exactly what happened. And this, of course, sent the UFO investigators and a lot of the public into a bit of a furor. And it also led to a symposium in Congress where a lot of people came in to testify that, you know, that there should be continued scientific research on UFOs, if even if the Air Force wasn't investigating. Actually, the Lorenzans in the APRO bulletin, Jim Lorenzen specifically, Coral's husband, said, well, you know, it's good. Now we no longer have the Air Force to blame for all our problems, and we can get down to what we should be doing, which is investigating UFOs, not bashing the Air Force. So that was that.
Well, that's one thing about APRO. It wasn't so involved in a dispute with the Air Force over UFO evidence. That was Kehoe's stock and trade.
Yeah, Jim Lorenzen actually played devil's advocate when the report came out and said, you know, no, he played devil's advocate. He played devil's advocate when the what was called the Trick Memo came out. That was a memo written by Robert Lowe when they were trying to pitch this to the University of Colorado to, you know, accept the funding for the Air Force to get this study going, basically saying the trick would be to make this appear to be a, paraphrasing, the trick would be to make this appear to be a legitimate study, and essentially, you know, we'll come to the, you know, we'll appear as if we're actually investigating this seriously, with no expectation of coming up with the answer that these are aliens from outer space. That's totally paraphrasing it, but
that's basically it, Kurt.
Oh, I was going to say it was interesting that APRO had that viewpoint that, you know, now we can do our job, but whereas most people thought, you know, that they had been betrayed by the Condon report, and it seemed that they were turning the lights off on the UFO phenomena, and, you know, but it didn't kill off ufology. I mean, the controversy about it being closed went on for a long time, and it seemed like reports continued, and the interest by the public remained strong.
We got more with Kurt Collins and Gene Steinberg and our special guest, Charles Lear. It means you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now, because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health-giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's B-E-S-T-W-H-E-Y protein.net, or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
And Kurt Collins was talking here of the aftermath of the Condon Report, where even though the Air Force gave up on Project Blue Book, people did not stop seeing UFOs or talking about it. Go ahead.
One of the big things that followed was in 1973, the Pascagoula, Mississippi abduction case, and there was a huge revival in UFOs. But at the same time, though, NICAP was fading away, and I think a lot of the UFO clubs and their magazines were struggling. It's just a strange thing that the popularity of the topic was near its peak, but ufology was kind of anemic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, MUFON, when did MUFON start? Was that in the late 60s? 69.
By the way, it was founded by, I guess, disgruntled Afro members.
Yes, yeah. Yep. Walt Anders. You know, I had a very interesting thought that just occurred to me yesterday about what's going on now with UFOs in Congress, or UAPs. You can't put an ology after UAP. So, yeah, my thought was the testimony in front of Congress by the Navy representatives, the main thing they were emphasizing was destigmatizing reports. And it occurred to me, you know, the whole question of does the government know more about UFOs than us, you know, I'm a researcher, but, you know, than private investigators. And I think that answers the question. If there's a stigma against reporting UFOs, then Department of Defense is prevented from getting a lot of information because of that. And consistent reports of, you know, there being no official means to report UFOs. Therefore, you know, they're hamstrung in terms of getting information on UFOs, whereas the only place the public has to go to, and including members of the military and the police and other officials, is private organizations. So it's my belief that the private organizations have far more data and far more testimony than the government could possibly have. That's my speculation for the day.
Well, if you believe the Pentagon UFO study, the first sighting occurred in, what, 2005?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they don't want to see all the UFO history. But do you think what's happening now, are we in another cycle of the same thing with, you know, the congressional hearing and this new UAP task force, which has a new name, AIMSOG, I think they're calling it. You know, is this a cycle? And are we back in this again?
Well, you're an historian yourself, Kurt. You've seen all this before. Both of you have been through all this before. What do you think?
I think it's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the Air Force is kind of laughing at the Navy for stepping into deep doo-doo, because they're now in the same public relations nightmare that the Air Force had spent, you know, over $500,000 getting out of.
Yeah, it seems like a poorly cast remake.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it.
So, earlier I asked you about the Condon study and where it went wrong. I mean, was there a chance for it to, you know, if the fix was in, it couldn't have succeeded. But, you know, what would you have liked, what could we have done differently? Anything?
I don't think so. You know, I some good stuff did come out of it. There's actually, in the report, they did some good testing about the possibility of electromagnetism stopping car engines. They found there's only a couple of components in the car engines at that time that would have been affected. And I don't think they found it plausible that enough electromagnetism could shut down cars and lights. So, you know, they at least ruled out one thing. The most interesting thing I found, there were some interesting studies done in that. And there were also, you know, people open-minded to the idea who, you know, hadn't made up their minds beforehand. And that was to actually cause a big schism. Whereas, you know, Lowe and Condon were just, you know, anti, that there were researchers there that were, you know, open-minded enough to consider it.
I've heard that a lot of ufologists use what's in the Condon study to further their research. The main flaw in it seems to be the conclusion that Condon wrote that was so negative. And if you tear those pages out, it's a much better study.
I think it's pretty damn sloppy, quite frankly, for, you know, a scientific study. I don't think that'd get published in any peer-reviewed journal today. What they do with ball lightning, you know, I mentioned that in the book. You know, their whole treatment of ball lightning reads just like a flying saucer book, you know, proselytizing the reality of flying saucer. You know, all their evidence is anecdotal. There's no scientific evidence that, you know, ball lightning, especially at that time, I'm pretty sure there still isn't. There's no scientific evidence that ball lightning exists, that it's a real phenomena. And here they are in a scientific study, arguing for the existence of ball lightning based on anecdotal evidence, which I find hysterical.
Yeah, it's almost like blaming UFOs on a witch from the evidence they had.
Right. But yeah, but there are some. What was really cool is they had Leo Sprinkle put Herbert Schirmer under hypnosis as part of the study. Herbert Schirmer was a police officer. Was that Dexter, Michigan?
I can't recall, but...
Yeah, he was a police officer who had a UFO encounter along with a contact. And the best quote from him is that during the contact, he was told by the entities, we want you to believe in us, but not too much. But his case is in the Condon report, as well as the Falcon Lake case with Stephen McCulloch, Stefan McCulloch, who got burned on the chest and stomach by a classic flying saucer taking off and releasing hot gas through a vent that was a series of circles in a square, you know, in the series of small circles in a square pattern, and that pattern was left on his belly in forms of burn marks. So they investigated that. They came up with pretty negative conclusion about it because McCulloch had difficulty leading them to the exact spot, and also there were fire towers in the area, and none of the fire watch reported seeing anything either.
We got more time with Charles, Gene, and Kirk. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News.
Officials say up to 200 Ukrainian soldiers are being killed every day since Russian military began its attack on the Ukraine. The numbers have grown since Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky put the daily death toll up to 100.
Officials are suggesting the only way they will be able to make the Russians turn back if the West help with weaponry. Speaking of weaponry, French President Emmanuel Macron has said his country, quote, will remain mobilized to meet Ukraine's needs, including heavy weapons. This was all confirmed during a call with President Zelensky. The two also discussed humanitarian and military support. This is USA Radio News. The U.S. government is buying more monkeypox vaccine as surprising international outbreaks continues to grow. Health officials have identified 45 cases in 15 states and the District of Columbia. More than 1,300 cases have been found in about 30 other countries outside the areas of Africa where the virus is endemic. Even though officials have stated the risk to the American public is low, they are taking steps to assure people the medical measures are in place to deal with a growing problem. U.S. inflation accelerated to a 40-year high, topping all estimates. Shelter, food, and gas were the largest contributors. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
This is Big the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Yes, lots of fascinating cases to talk about, but if the fix was in, it wouldn't matter how fascinating they were.
Right. Condon was actually really into the silly cases. He loved them. He actually attended Jim Moseley's UFO. I think he called it the Congress of Scientific Ufologists. But
that went on for a number of years. Congress of Scientific Ufologists. I was one of the founding members back in the mid-60s, and Jim ran this for several years. And he became permanent chairman for a number of additional years, although he didn't sponsor the convention. But the big one was 1967. And that was a mess for Jim. It was not very well organized. And they probably had good attendance, but people snuck in and didn't pay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think he broke even on that one, right? Was that the one where he invited Kenneth Arnold, who was living in Australia at the time, who insisted on flying first class, and the whole thing would have cost Mosley, around $2,500?
That's right. So he was supposed to celebrate the anniversary of Arnold's sighting, and what was intended to be the guest of honor didn't make it. So. Oh, boy. So one thing I wanted to ask you about was, and actually this question comes from our listener, Richard Hawkins. He says, with the 1960s characters in ufology, he wanted you to talk about those. So these people basically grew up with saucers, whereas the, people in the original, the 1940s, it was something completely new to them. But if you grew up with it from your childhood, how did that shape them? And what was the influence, you think, in the way that these people passed on to the next generation?
That's a really good question. It'd be pure speculation on my part. But a big thing about the original disc reports is that they weren't necessarily definitely thought of as being from space or space aliens, that did get associated with it. But there was still the idea that, you know, this, there were human inventors behind these. They were weapons. You know, there are actually, there's a huge spate of cases right in 47 where people were finding discs all over the place. I mean, and bringing them in because people were offering rewards for them. And they you know, hoaxes and fakes. There was even a Catholic priest brought in a saw blade with a couple of condensers stuck on it. But in any case, you know, the idea that these are some mysterious, that these are from outer space and piloted by aliens, that developed. And yeah, the people growing up, once that got established, I'm sure that affected them. And also, you know, gave them a bit of confirmation bias in their investigations as well, I'm sure. But Keel actually broke out of that, coming from John Keel, who wrote the Mothman Prophecies. Keel actually broke out of that. He came into it as an outsider. He was a 14, which meant he was just into paranormal, strange phenomena in general. Comes from Charles Fort, who wrote about this kind of stuff around the turn of the century. One of his, The Book of the Damned and Lower, two of his most famous ones. I think he wrote four. I don't know the titles of the other two. But he actually took scientific reports, newspaper stories of what he called the damned, stories that science ultimately pushed aside as being implausible. So people who were into this kind of stuff ended up calling themselves 14s. And John Keel was a 14, first and foremost. So while everybody was looking for an alien solution to the problem, you know, as the mystery had developed throughout the end of the 50s, Keel came at it from another point of view. And I think, you know, came up with some groundbreaking ideas.
So I should mention very quickly here, the first time I met John Keel was in the mid-60s at Jim Moseley's office. And he was doing an article for, I think, Playboy. Don't know if it was ever published. By the way, The Book of the Damned, there is a public version of it now because it's way, way out of copyright. And the introduction says it all. A procession of the damned. By the damned, I mean the excluded. We shall have a procession of data that science has excluded.
Yeah, my favorite quote from Charles Fort is, if there is a universal consciousness, must it be sane?
That's what Keel said, by the way. Yeah, Keel said very much the same thing, that he was talking about ultra-terrestrials and suggesting they were not quite sane.
I hope I got that right. That might have been a quote from Keel, actually.
Yeah, so both of these guys were open to much broader ideas where so many people, especially the people that followed NICAP's, the flying saucers are real mantra, you know, refused to think much of anything else. So, you know, there's some, and, you know, maybe there are some flying saucers from little men from other planets, but there might be other things in the sky and other energy and consciousness that account for some of these other things or psychological factors. Yeah, you know, there's probably not an easy answer for everything.
Yeah.
There are a lot of wild and woolly UFO stories, and I wanted to know what was your opinion? How can we get the public to focus on evidence-based cases rather than some of the sensational things?
That's an interesting question. I think we've got a big problem right now with critical thinking. You know, I believe Ancient Aliens is seriously damaging people's minds I have nothing but contempt for that show.
Well, it's a reality show. What do you expect?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a wonderful four-hour video this young man put together called Debunking Ancient Aliens, and it's a great lesson in critical thinking and, you know, points out what they do. Things like the straw man argument, you know, some people say, saying something ridiculous and saying, are they kidding? You know, without saying who those people are. There's the false dilemma, saying, you know, how could you possibly drill a hole in granite in 2000, BC? Well, the Egyptians were doing that, you know, and case after case after case. So, I think we really need to emphasize critical thinking again. And I think especially ufologists should, really do what they can to get the word out that, you know, this is speculation, and, I, as a writer, I write a blog every single week, and I write about the most ridiculous cases because I love them. Give me a humanoid report. I actually have to discipline myself not to write about humanoids every single time. The crazier the better. But when I do it, I said, this is according to this witness, according to this article, and I cite my sources. And I don't speculate as to whether they're real or not. And I said, these are the facts.
And speaking of the facts, we will be discussing on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast someone who was once prominent in the field of ufology before he more or less discredited himself, and that was William Moore. Of course, he was prominent in the Roswell case with Charles Lear, the flying saucer investigators. Not UFO investigators, not UAP investigators, flying saucer investigators, with Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let's continue with this. So you continue to look into humanoid cases, Charles Lear. Do we see anything recent? It seems that a lot of those cases are becoming long ago and far away.
Very recent. Case in New Mexico, while I was there, 2020. A couple of guys were up hunting. I forget which mountain range it was, up in northwestern New Mexico, I believe. They said they saw this big old, what they thought was a tent set up for a movie shoot, and then they went down. It was down a hill and then up a hill. And you know, it was out of view for a bit. When they came up the hill, it was gone. And then one of them claimed to have seen some strange creatures dressed in weird clothing out in the bushes as he was, scouting around for game. That's a very recent report. Like I said, 2020. Another great report from Florida. I think this, I want to say maybe 2019, a woman in Florida. She saw this creature, said it had a really big jaw, like compare our jaw to a pit bull's, and it being the pit bull, and dressed in a space suit, saw it climb up an invisible ladder, seemed to hoist itself up into an invisible something, and then the invisible something like just closed off and it was gone. Yeah, they're still coming.
That one couldn't really be one of considered one of them, but the people that have seen strange creatures and things like that, or you know, even on the cattle mutilations and other weirdness, these might be things like Charles Fort talked about. But since we're in the flying saucer and UFO era, people are always so eager to try to include that into the UFO phenomenon. Do you think that that's overdone? And did Charles Fort, should we go back to his approach?
I honestly don't think in terms of should. I like to approach the subject as an historian. You know, when I write with as much journalistic integrity as I can muster, which, you know, I try and write sticking to the rules of journalism as, you know, being, not having studied it, I haven't been to college. So, you know, I've learned from the interwebs what journalism is supposed to be. In any case, in terms of should, and for me, I like a plausible story. It's more enjoyable to me. The tricky thing with this whole subject is that in a great part, it's entertainment. In the book, I mentioned that seems to really have happened with the Long John Neville show more than any other time.
Long John always treated it as entertainment. I don't think he ever took it seriously, but he took it seriously because it was a paycheck for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Neville was just kind of a ringleader.
Or ringmaster, depending
ringmaster.
On your point of view.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It was around that time that ufology really got divided into two camps, you know. Well, you know, there's just, you know, where's that line between, you know, hey, I'm going to make a few bucks, you know, and I'm sticking to my integrity, but once the money comes into it and, you know, your readers or your viewers, you know, start getting bored with what you're telling them, the temptation to embellish is there.
Right, but you know, anyone in a profession has to put food on the table, so they have to earn a living. And the question is here, are they doing things to earn a living that take them out of the ethical ballpark there? And you think journalists, more sensational stories, doctors, do they have to treat more patients? What is it? But there has to be a point where you say, okay, you have a certain degree of ethics and you do your job. And then you let's see what happens. You don't try to embellish it. Whereas if you become famous as a contactee, an experiencer, there is the temptation to add details.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's in all professions. You know, you come upon that line where your integrity is tested. So in ufology, there are those whose integrity stands the test of time, but it tends mostly to be the ones who aren't making a living at it, from what I can see.
If you don't want to retain your integrity, just be a politician.
Yeah. Yeah, the old, how do you know they're lying? Their lips are moving. But, you know, some have integrity, absolutely, and are serving their country faithfully. You know, I don't want to put down everybody, but for me personally, the way I most enjoy this subject is to approach it with as much journalistic integrity as I can muster, and to be as accurate an historian as I can be, and cite my sources. And actually, one of the things I cite my sources in the book, probably not really properly academically, not being an academic, but as best as I could learn. But my main purpose for doing that was to be able to give the reader a jumping off point where if they want to explore this subject in that manner themselves, to tell them where all these wonderful archives are all over the web available. The Archives for the Unexplained, type in files.afu.se, and you'll get magazines and documents from all over the world. Go to NICAP.org. They've got case files there and publications free. Go to QFOS.org. Same thing. So I put that information in the book for the reader to go on the same journey I did, which was just, you know, fascinating.
Best way being, if you want to learn where to go with this field, find out where it started. Otherwise, you just repeat the same old mistakes. Again, doomed to repeat the mistakes of history.
Yeah, and going down the same blind alleys that other people went down and said, no, come back this way.
You know, there's still people like in this day and age who want to insist that George Adamski told the truth. And I heard from a person like this who wanted to be on the Paracast, and I said, wait a minute, didn't you realize this guy was exposed years ago? I sent a link to the version of the Saucer News Adamski Exposé issue, and Kurt and I run a site called JimMosley.com, and I never heard from that person again. Listen, Charles Lear, for those interested in your work, where can they check you out?
I write a weekly blog for podcastufo.com, Martin Willis's site. I do an audio version of that blog. I call an audio blog. That's on Martin Willis's YouTube site. And, of course, there's my book at Amazon.com. It's available in audiobook, hard copy, paperback, and in German.
Well, glad you have a translator. By the way, there is an online translator, by the way, for Klingons. So you can have a Klingon version.
Awesome.
Flying saucer investigators. I'm not going to repeat that. We've got the translator link, by the way, in the Paracast forums. You can convert everything into Klingon, and then we can really enjoy it. You'd be surprised how that changes. You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Look for the Paracast or the Paracast Fan Club on Facebook. You can also get branded merchandise featuring the Paracast logos. We have a bunch of logos. You pick the logo, then you pick the product, the T-shirt and the mug and the cap and all the other good stuff. Check out the Paracast.shop. The Paracast.shop. And we also offer the Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus features this show free of the network ads and the After the Paracast podcast, where we'll be back to talk about an article at Kurt's BlueBlurryLines.com site about the strange goings-on involving William Moore and others. We're also offering a special deal. Use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, to get a 20% discount for a five-year or lifetime Paracast Plus subscription. Go to the Paracast.plus for more. The Paracast.plus. Charles Lear, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
It's been an honor. Thank you very much for having me.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.